And for the rest of us, I want you to turn with me again to John chapter 16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And also the book of 1 John chapter 2. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the wonderful privilege of being in your house and in your presence. It's always a privilege to sing your praises, for you have done so much for us. And Lord Jesus, tonight, as we conclude on this question of accountability groups, I pray, Lord, that you would touch us, give us wisdom and insight into your word, and help me to teach it in a way that it would be a blessing and bring understanding to your people, Lord. I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and I trust exclusively in that, Father, knowing that in and of myself I can't do anything to help your people, but the Holy Spirit can and will do so much for them. Let him come tonight and be the teacher, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we've been talking about the question, and Paula, she's been working back there with the young folks. She's the one who asked it. She's finally able to be with us tonight. About our accountability group scriptural, is mentoring scriptural? And in the preceding weeks, we pretty well covered that. The short on that is no, they're not scriptural. The reason being, anybody want to tell me why they're not scriptural? Why we defined it? How we defined it? Just a short answer on why they're not scriptural. What are they trying to do, Mike? Exactly. That's what makes them wrong. They're trying to take the place, whether knowingly or unknowingly, of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit is the one whom God has ordained to train the believer, to grow the believer, and that believer grows by placing himself under God's system. And God's system is the fivefold ministry gifts: apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor. We've discussed it's certainly no crime or sin for people to get together and have a prayer meeting. But to call it an accountability group, you don't find that in Scripture. You just simply do not find it. There has to be a ministry gift operating. That's God's system. If any help is going to be given, and that fivefold ministry must be preaching the right message. It can't just be you have a ministry gift in operation. We've talked about that. We see people all the time that have a genuine calling from God, but they're preaching the wrong message. So everything, those three things have to be right. It has to be a ministry gift, and that minister and whatever gift they're operating must be delivering the right message, which is, of course, Christ and him crucified. And we looked at last week, the last 2 weeks, we looked at how the Holy Spirit functions in the life of the believer, and we've given scriptural support to the idea that the Holy Spirit is the only agent qualified to grow the believer, lead the believer into all truth. So with all that in mind, let's go to John chapter 16, and let's read the words of Jesus again, beginning in verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the agent of revelation, and what he reveals to us is Jesus Christ. We will never know enough about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is continually operating. If the believer's faith is right, he is continually operating to give that believer more and fresh revelation of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And that helps the believer to grow. Going on to verse 14, he shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. And in the literal Greek, that means that the Holy Spirit takes all the benefits that Jesus won for us on the cross and imparts them to the believer that has his faith anchored in the cross of Christ. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Let's read it again. I want that to sink in. He shall glorify me. Now, that's one problem we talked about with accountability groups and mentoring groups. It's usually the leader of that group getting glorified, who wants to rule over other people or lord it over on them. And that's not biblical spiritual leadership. I mean, if we're doing our jobs right as pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors, we are not leading you to us. We are leading you to Jesus Christ. And that's how you can tell if a minister is of the Holy Spirit or not. Are they leading you to the finished work of the cross? Which that faith in that alone is what allows the Holy Spirit to function as he desires to do in the heart and life of the believer. We can grieve the Holy Spirit if we attempt to function outside of God's prescribed order. And that's why Jesus has given us clarity here on how to tell. We're going to go into this a little bit deeper over in John chapter 2. But he shall glorify me. That cannot be stressed enough. It's not rocket science. If you want to tell where a person, where a ministry is, who are they talking about? Are they talking about the ministry? Are they talking about their latest book? Are they talking about 7 steps and 5 keys? Or are they leading you to Christ and him crucified as the true answer, which is the only true answer? Okay, and then the Holy Spirit, he imparts. Now you got these jokers out there right now, and one of them used to be a big church of God named T.L. Lowry, where they're going to impart to you the anointing, like he likes to say in that gruff voice. He ain't got no anointing to impart. It don't belong to T.L. Lowry. It don't belong to any man. It only comes from Jesus Christ. Anytime anybody's going to try and tell you they're going to impart something to you, run from them. Run from them. They got nothing to give you. But if they're leading you to the one who has all power and can give you all things, then listen. Listen. Because Jesus Christ will give the anointing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. I feel it right now. Hallelujah. We can't do nothing without that. We can't function as a believer as we ought to do. It's imperative that what we're talking about, that's what makes these accountability groups and mentoring processes so wrong. They are not God's system, and they will not allow the Holy Spirit to function as he needs to function in the life of the believer. Why? Because if God would honor that, it would nullify what Christ did on the cross. If the Holy Spirit lent help to any man-made program, it would be a total affront to and abrogation of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But, you know, we talked about it last week. Why on earth do you want anything else? If you got the power and can have access to the power that spoke these planets into being on the inside of you, my Lord, that's enough to overcome anything we're ever going to face. Praise God. Why do we want anything else? Well, there's where it goes back to ego, human pride. People want to take the place of the Holy Spirit. And in a lot of these groups, you'll find that. You know, there's usually one strong-willed person that has all 9 gifts of the Spirit and all 5 ministry gifts working in them. And they'll be the first one to tell you that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I see you laughing and giggling. It's true, though, isn't it? And they'll talk about everything but Christ and him crucified. They're trying to convince you of how great and spiritual and mighty they are. They won't help you out a bit. And the Holy Spirit won't have any part of that. I mean, I've got a long ways to go, but I've said this before. I'll say it again. I know if I preach Jesus and him crucified and lead you there, you're going to get help. You're going to get help. You may not even feel like it sometimes. But if you're being led to the cross, the Holy Spirit's going to operate somehow, some way. And as we've said over the past couple weeks, he's working on us when we're asleep. He never shuts down, praise God. He never shuts down. We do. He don't. Praise the Lord. So you'll get the help you need. Okay, let's go on to verse 15 now. All things the Father hath of mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. There is a declarative statement by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ telling us the Holy Spirit is going to give you everything you need. Remember earlier in this chapter, he told the disciples, I'm going away. And it's expedient for you that I go away. In other words, you'll be better off. Because when I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter, he called him, the Parakletos. One called alongside to help. One to speak for us. Praise God. And here Jesus says, in essence, excuse me, this Comforter is all you need. Praise the Lord. You know, and on that note, I'm going to, with me burping, I'm sorry, I pray that didn't come through the microphone, but let me give you a little hint here, a little side note. If you're going to stop down here and get some of this Hunt Brothers pizza on the corner, eat the box. Throw the pizza out. The box is much more flavorful. No, I'm just kidding. I missed lunch today, and I stopped down there and saw that pizza. And have you ever done that? You stop in one of these places, and you know it's going to be rotten and terrible, whatever you pick up, but you're so hungry that it just looks good to you, and you get it anyway. Well, anyway, let's go. Okay. Verse 16. A little while, and you shall not see me again. A little while, and you shall see me again, because I go to the Father. And there is the promise of his return back. Okay. So I hope you clearly see now from Scripture. Any questions or comments before we leave John 16? I want you to be clear on God's system. You know, because if you understand God's system and how he grows the believer and how he gives revelation to the believer and how he imparts knowledge and reveals himself to the believer, you'll immediately know when somebody's giving you something else or should. And the Holy Spirit will always, it's been my experience, because, you know, at times I've gone down some, started to go down some wild paths spiritually. But for whatever reason, God, in his grace and mercy, from the time I came back to know him in 1983, I always wanted to get it right with him. I did. I've always had that desire to get it right with him. You know, I haven't always done that. Until I learned the message of the cross. But the desire was always there. And if that desire is there, that's been my experience. I know. I've come to know the Lord in that realm. He won't let you go too far down a wrong path spiritually. He'll pull you back. And I mean, it may be painful at times, but he loves you enough. If your heart is right and you're wanting to know the truth, he will not let you go too awful far down a path of error before he pulls you back and lets you know and gives you the revelation, you're going the wrong way here. I mean, I've shared with you before at one time, man, I was climbing the denominational ladder in the Church of God, or the demon nation ladder, however you want to put it. But notice how close those two words are, denomination and demon nation. Have you ever thought about that? But in any event, you know, and I thought, and I love the Lord, and I still wanted to preach the truth, but I was manipulating that system. I learned that, hey, you know, I still preach the truth to the people as much as I lied as I had. Then I always wanted to do that. But I learned, man, you can play with these guys, you know. They don't care if you're preaching Buddhism as long as you send in your tithe of tithe every month. They won't care a bit. They don't even check. That's why that denomination is so off track right now from the leadership down. It's because they've got their focus on the wrong things. And they think they're doing God's service, but they're really not. And it's sad. But thank God we got delivered from that. Amen. As painful as it was, so that's a point in case of what I'm talking about. God said, hey, I'm calling y'all out of this. And I know everybody here tonight, as I look over you, just about everybody here anyway, you answered that call. You're like, yeah, I see this for what it is, and I want out of it. You see, that's a prime example of what I'm talking about, how the Holy Spirit will pull you out of error if you really want to walk in the truth. He'll get it to you. He will get it to you. Okay, any questions or comments before we leave John 16 on how God's system of growing the believer operates? Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will only function when faith is in the cross of Christ. Okay, let's go on here then. Why don't you go with me to 1 Corinthians now? I'm going to read verse 118 again, and this is buttressing the fact of keeping your faith in the cross for the Holy Spirit to function and be your guide and be your leader. Not a man. Now, again, don't misunderstand. Well, I'll let that lie for now. 1 Corinthians 1:18, probably all of you can quote it. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. That says it all right there. That says it all. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. And in some form or fashion, again, every accountability and mentoring group removes the cross of Christ that I've ever heard of or that I've been affiliated with or known about. They offer something else as the antidote to your sin problem. I was at Austin's baseball game last night, and a gentleman came up to me and started talking to me. He was from the other team, so I shunned him. No. But he's going through a bad time right now, and a real difficult time personally. I'll just leave it at that. But I was able to tell him, and he listened. Tears came to his eyes, and I prayed with him right there. I said, your answer is Jesus Christ. He will help you through this, and he will fix your broken heart, and only he can do it. Because he'd been talking about going to a psychologist and a 12-step program, and my heart was breaking for the brother. And I don't know if he's going to come here or if he's going to listen to a word I said or not, but I put it out there. Like we said on Sunday when my good friends Mike and Penny were here, you know, so I'm sure old Bob Anderson, well, he was telling all of us about Jesus. He thought not a bit of this is getting through. Nothing's changing. But, hey, look what ultimately happened. So I'm trusting in that's trusting in the power of the cross. It has such a power to it when it's preached and delivered in the right way. It cannot be denied. And you show me how somebody feels about the cross, and I'll show you where they are spiritually. Because the Holy Spirit will be continually guiding and leading you. Continually. If your faith is exclusively in the power of what Christ did for you on the cross. He will not let you make an error. You may start, like I said, down a road, but he'll yank you back. And Paul said to us who are saved, that word saved in the Greek, the word is sozo. And it's in the active tense, or the active participle. It means to those who are being saved. Now, I want to take a minute, and you might think, what? What do you mean there, Pastor? Those who are being saved. It's speaking of our sanctification process, as the Holy Spirit is working on us. Yes, we're saved when you put your faith in the shed blood of Christ and ask him to wipe your sins away. In the spirit realm, you'll never become more saved. It's impossible. It's impossible. But as the Holy Spirit works on us in the natural realm to shape and change us into the image of Jesus Christ, that's what Scripture's referring to here. To us who are saved, it is the power of God, the cross of Christ. And that means those who are being saved. It's speaking of sanctification in that tense. You know, those who believe and trust and what Christ did at the cross, they're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit operating in their lives. And you know, I was thinking today, I took a few moments at lunch, on my lunch hour, I didn't get a chance to eat, but I just got off. They have a little meditation room there at base, if you can believe that. Of course, they've got statues of Buddha and everybody else in there. And I walked in there, and I think somebody might have thought I was actually Buddha. I'm not sure, but he's alive and walking in the meditation room. But I went in there to take a few moments, and the Lord reminded me just how, if you really look at your life, sometimes we're ignorant of it. We don't pay the attention to it. At least I don't, that I should. How many times a day the Holy Spirit operates in your life? If we'll take a day someday and just count the times, and be sensitive to him. And I think back, and man, even on job problems sometimes I'm having, he'll give me the answer to it. And I'll share with you, and this is to God be the glory. I just got a promotion to a supervisor. I got 8 people working under me now. And I knew nothing about this job. I was so scared and shook when I first started working over there. But the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has given me the wisdom to be able to do this job. And they recognized that, and they got this special assignment. Now it's turned into a full-time thing, and they promoted me permanently. Praise God. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one who gave me the wisdom, because there are times I'll pray. And you should do this on your job, if you've ever considered it. If you know, something's really going awry and you don't have an answer to it, you've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Pray to him. He'll guide you. He'll guide you. He'll help you along. And just one day, take a day And that you'll be amazed. I know I have been on the days that God's given me the mind to do it. I need to do it more often. But you'll be amazed at how many times you'll sense and realize, hey, what just happened just didn't come out of thin air. The Holy Spirit is working all the time. If our faith is right, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 2. And begin reading at verse 26. 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 26. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. The churches that John was writing to were coming under what was called in that day the Gnostic heresy. And Gnosticism in its basic form taught that there was two parts to living for Jesus Christ or living for God. There was your flesh, and then there was your spirit. And the error of their teaching was that your flesh, you know, what you do with your flesh, basically is almost like a Catholic theology. You can go out and do anything you want to do because you have gnosis, a special knowledge of Jesus Christ and God. So if you want to go out and commit fornication, you want to go out and get drunk, lie, cheat, steal, whatever you need, that's just your flesh doing that, but your spirit's still saved. Well, now, yeah, what a horrible teaching that is. And what an affront to what Jesus did on the cross. You can clearly see how that kind of teaching leaves no room for the operation of the Holy Spirit in that believer's life. It's a denial, in effect, of the power of the Holy Spirit, Gnosticism is. And it's alive and well today. It's branded under several different titles, but it's still the basic, because it had its birth in hell. Gnosticism. And John, this is what John means when he says, I'm writing to y'all concerning them that seduce you. And that word seduce, it has the idea of being, having an unsober mind and spirit. In other words, being drunk in spirit. And I'm going to tell you, I know most of y'all already know this, but if you drink or if you partake of false doctrine long enough, it dulls your spiritual senses. It does. It's just like taking a bottle of Jack Daniels and chugging it down. If you willingly and knowingly imbibe into a false doctrine or a false teaching just because it feels good to you, and you're not taking the time to let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you, which you can shun Him, we can as believers, you'll fall for the lie that's being taught. If you associate yourself long enough with it and keep going back because, well, I like it, I don't think there's that much harm in it, yet you know in your heart, this person is not leading and teaching me right. They're not leading me to the cross of Christ. They're leading me away from the power of the Holy Spirit to operate in my life, to sanctify me and turn me into Christ's likeness. But I like what they're saying anyway. I think they're funny. I think they're charismatic. I think they're this or that. You can be made spiritually drunk to where you'll give in to that false doctrine. And that's what John is meaning here. He was writing to the church concerning the Gnostic heresy. And he said, I'm writing concerning them that are seducing you. In other words, giving you this false doctrine and making you spiritually drunk. Now here's a powerful scripture we're about to read. Let's go to the next verse now. I think it's verse 27, I'm sorry. Been a long day, folks. Verse 27. And let's read it in conjunction with verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Wow, that's going right back to John 16. That word anointing in the Greek literally means the smearing of power. The smearing of power. And the endowment of power, which is the Holy Spirit, the anointing. But the anointing which you have received of him, speaking of Jesus, not T.L. Lowry, not your denomination, not your priest or whoever's trying to impart something to you, it only comes from Jesus Christ. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things. Now, let's break this down a moment. First, we're told we're given the anointing to teach us. And that he goes on and says, you have no need that any man teach you. Well, the obvious question is, well, Pastor, didn't you just tell us a few moments ago that, or previous lessons, it's only through the apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor? Yes, absolutely. It's not saying that you don't need teaching through the ministry gifts. But what's being referred to is that the Holy Spirit will immediately let you know truth from error, spiritually speaking. That you don't need any man to tell you this is right, this is wrong. Listen, you tune in to any preacher you want to tune in that's in the media right now, and they'll all tell you they're right and that they're preaching the truth, every single one of them. I don't care who they are. That's a hallmark of all of their shows. You know, oh, I'm telling you the truth on this now. If you really want the truth, you listen to me. I've been guilty of it myself. I've pray I haven't come across arrogantly, like I'm the source of all truth, but I'm talking about the truth of Christ and him crucified, not any doctrine I'm coming up with individually. But you listen to all of them, they'll tell you I'm leading you in the right direction. Well, how do you know? I'll get to you in just a second, Paul. How do you know? Right there's it. The anointing, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit will confirm to the believer what's spiritually correct and what's not correct. Yes, Paul.
When a person teaches that doesn't have the Holy Spirit, usually they have to conjure up the excitement with the audience, you know, because the Holy Spirit's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to conjure you, you know,
emotionally.
Emotionally hooped up.
That's a good thought, Paula. And yeah, that you see most churches in America today that they do things just like what Paula said. You know, everything is done to appeal to the senses. I mean, all these flashing lights and loud music like a rock concert, they're trying to give you a sensual experience. Well, I hate to break the news to us, but we're not here for a sensual experience. We're here for a spiritual experience. And if you're not going to have the Holy Ghost, and you know, let me say this, Paul, you brought up such a great point. We may not get through it again tonight, but hey, we'll just keep going. Hey, all we got is until the rapture happens, right? So, based on what she said, think of that. All churches, if they don't have the real moving of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes what he does, he doesn't do it in a grandiose way from a human perspective. Like, I have sensed his presence from the inception of this service tonight so beautifully and so wonderfully. But nothing wild has really gone on. And I remember the time I used to think, man, the Holy Ghost, if there weren't people jumping pews and, you know, four or five messages in tongues and other gifts of the Spirit and healings and things like that, and all those are great and part of the Holy Spirit's movement. But I know at one time, I'd grown up in it. I'd seen so much about shouting and carrying on, I knew nothing about the Word of God. I just thought the Pentecostal church was you just come and be loud and shout and carry on. That's what makes us distinctive from everybody else, and that's the Holy Ghost. And I've come to learn that is a part of the Holy Spirit's movement, but it's much deeper than that. Sometimes it's services like this tonight. He's been flowing like a river, not because of my great teaching. Heavens, no. It's been because of the message. It's been because of the message. That's when he can flow and do work. And work has been going on in all of our lives tonight. But man, if he don't have his focus right, he's going to attempt to replace the Holy Spirit with something. And it's always something wild and crazy. And that goes right back to what Paula said. Here's where you get all these flashing lights and all this jumping up and down stuff, you know, where they just come and that's all they do. You know, you've seen those kind of services. That's not the Holy Spirit. And they go out the same way they came in. A lot of them will go right back out and go to a bar or something. You know, there's no real change in their life. They're just getting a sensual experience, and it will not produce Christ-likeness in their lives. And I'm not talking about perfection. I said Christ-likeness. You know, have you ever been around? I'm around all you all the time. I sense Jesus in you all. When I'm around you. That's why we need to come together and have fellowship. I sense him. He's there. And I know y'all ain't perfect, and I ain't either. But that Christ-likeness is there. That's proof that a person's faith is in the right place. But the anointing that's indwelling us, the Holy Spirit's bearing witness that Helen's my sister, you know, Mike's my brother, and so on with all the rest of you. Because he's the same Holy Ghost indwelling all of us. And he will teach us spiritual truth from spiritual error if we'll listen to him. If we'll listen to him. And there's been times he's had to really grab me and get a hold of me and, you know, shake me hard. I'll be frank with you. I've told everybody this who knows me that knows my story. I was fourth generation Church of God. My family helped start the Church of God. And I would have never have left it had the Lord not torn me away from it the way he did, but I know it was God. He loved me enough, and it was painful. I thought I was going to die at the time. But he taught me, and I look back on it now, and I'm like, thank you, Lord. Whatever it took to have what we have right now, it was worth it. It really was. It pales in comparison. Like Paul said, I count all things dung that I might win Christ. Because that's everything right there. And the Holy Spirit will do that in your life. He won't let you sit in error. He won't let you go too far deeply into it before he grabs you and says, hey, it's time to turn around now. And that's what this scripture is referring to. You have no need. You know, when a preacher tells you, I'm telling you the truth, well, he might be. But how do you know? Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the content of his message. And again, it reverts back. That's what makes accountability groups and mentoring groups so unscriptural. Because they never flow. At least my experience, I've never heard of a one yet that says, hey, we can't form a new group of people because we don't have the ministry, the apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor working in this group. Usually it's somebody stands up and says, well, I want to be a leader. That's no different than Amway. Well, okay, you go out and get 10 people under you then, and then you start you a home group, okay? And then have all them go out and get 10 people under them. And the church grows by multiplication. Oh, isn't that the word they love to use? You're not growing a church. You're growing a social club. Really, you're growing a social club. You're not producing saints. You're producing socialites. Because, I know that's a strong statement, but again, the key element is the Holy Spirit operating. That's your key element right there. Any other questions or comments? I promise you we'll finish on this question next week. And then we're going on to a real good one that's been asked by none other than Brother Phil back there on the sound about divine healing. I think that'll be real interesting. We'll probably spend, if I say 2 weeks, that means we'll spend 6 on it. So how about I just say we'll exhaust the subject till we know the Holy Spirit's done with it. How about that? Is that a good way to say it? Okay, any other questions or comments before we dismiss tonight? Okay, everybody stand and let's go to the Lord in prayer. And thank you, you've been a great class. You know, you all energize me. Sometimes I come in here off the road and I feel like I'm so dead, my mind is so weary, and I'm like, Lord, I can't even remember my scripture references right now. But the Holy Spirit, praise God. Chris, I know you know what I'm talking about, the Holy Spirit. And next week, I'm going to be on vacation for a few days. I won't be here on Wednesday night. Brother Mike is going to be teaching next Wednesday night. And he just heard that for the first time tonight. He didn't know that till just now. Now, if you will, I'll talk to you about it after service, Mike. I didn't. That was mean, wasn't it? That was really, really mean. But I am serious. If you would like to, I'd love to have you do it. If not, we'll work something else out. But we're taking Austin and Tara up to Cedar Point for Austin's birthday. So I can walk around in the hot sun all day. But they have that beach park there that has the cool water. That's where I'll be. Because I can't fit on any of those rides. I love them. But I'm too tall to get on any of them. But Austin and Tara just love to ride them from dawn to dusk. So we're just going to let them go. But in any event, next week, somebody will be here. Somebody will be here. Come on back, and then we'll pick up our finish this study the week after. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Lord, but we praise you even more, for we know why the Holy Spirit functions in this little body of believers. Lord, it's because of where our faith is. And that's in you, Lord Jesus, and your precious shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Lord, keep us anchored in that. And Heavenly Father, tonight I just pray that you'll touch each and every one that's here, sensitize us in this last day to the Holy Spirit's operation in our lives daily, Lord. Sensitize us to Him and His moving, His wisdom, His work in us. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you so much. You're dismissed.